Always remember, every miracle began with a problem. Even in the beginning of time, when there was chaos and formless, and the world was formless and void, the Spirit of God hovered just above the waters. And even though there's chaos in our life, in our world, God's Spirit says, I am so close, all you gotta do is speak, let there be light, and boom. So God is saying, never think I'm too far.
Happy New Year, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, the conclusion of a message Pastor Wayne gave at the end of a year a while back, encouraging us to see things up. We often find ourselves looking down when we hear about all the doom and gloom around us. But God's Word tells us to look up. That is where our help comes from. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Seeing Things Up.
The story is told in Numbers 13 in the Old Testament of 12 people going into the land that God says, I'm going to give you. So just go check it out. Kick the tires, but it's yours already. And then come and tell me what you think. Now, they're going to go into the new land with three kinds of truths. And I want you to know that each of us will face three kinds of truths in our world today that's unraveling. Number one, there's personal truth. Personal truth. Personal truth is the way I see it. We call that relative truth. The second kind of truth is political truth. That's how the times in which we live wants it to be seen. So they'll move the pieces around because that's political truth. That's how the times we're living in, whether it was back in the 1900s or 50 years ago or today, it's the times in which we live, how they want it to be seen. The media helps that, etc. And that's just political truth. And the third is absolute truth. Absolute truth is objective truth. That's how God sees it. So personal truth, how I see it. Political truth, how the times we live in wants it to be seen. And then there's absolute truth, how God sees it. Now, number one, personal truth can be changed. Number two, political truth is very difficult to change because there's a mass of people kind of going that way and you're going to fight against the current. It's tough to change that one. Number three, absolute truth, you cannot change. That has been the same since the creation of time. In fact, that's what we call biblical truth or objective truth. And in Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. So in other words, even when you get to heaven, those of you that are going there, those in heaven, God's word is still valid and it will be kept. So forever. So in other words, the Bible is eternally true. All right, now listen. Very difficult to change number two, political truth. You can change number one, you can't change number three. So number one, which is us, we get to choose who we're going to match up with. If we change, is it going to be political truth or is it going to be absolute truth? That's the choice that we get to make. And my prayer is that we will say, we, whatever the cost, will change to God's truth, absolute truth, because the church is called the pillar and support of the truth. And once we're there, then we begin to see things the way God sees them. So here's the story, and you're going to hear all three of those truths enacted. God is bringing the children of Israel through the Exodus, and they're at the horizon, they're at the promised land. It's a ways yet, but God says, I'd like 12 men to go into the promised land that I promised you, and I want you to go kick the tires, check it out, and bring back some fruit so that the people of Israel can see what a wonderful promised land it is. And they'll get excited and incentivized to go into the promised land. As you know, Joshua is going to take them into the promised land because Moses is about to die and be buried on a mountain called Mount Nebo in land called Moab, which is right across the Jordan. So they send 12 in. They come back and 10 of them bring a bad report and 2 of them bring a good report. Now, it's very interesting what God is about to teach us on how we see things and the importance of seeing things up, because those are the ones that God chooses to inherit the promises. Let's take a look at this, and we're going to read a few scriptures together, but the first is out of Numbers 13:1, and you're going to see absolute truth. So let's read it together. Would you go? The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am to the..." So what is God doing? So once he says it, that's it. Okay. Now let's continue. "From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So you've just been faced with absolute truth. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. So God says, "I'm giving it to you. Now just go kick the tires and bring back some of the fruit so that you can show to all the people of Israel how wonderful the land is that I am." All right, absolute truth. They go in and they, sure enough, they bring back some fruit, some figs and some grapes, big as grapefruits. Huge, wonderful produce. But there's the giants living in the land. And so their report was, when Moses says, "Okay, give a report." Let's read the first report. Ready? Go. "But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.'" There you have personal truth, how I see it. And sometimes how I see it is the way it is. And we don't change. That makes us stubborn and what the Bible calls obstinate or stiff-necked. And they said, "We cannot, we can't go." Now listen to political truth. Read the next one that comes up. Go. "But the..." Oh, wait a second. Yeah, there it is. So the second line there, okay? Go. "And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had..." What spread? Yeah, a fake news. "And so they spread that abroad." That's called political truth. And they continue. "And they said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it.'" Be afraid. Be fearful. This is bad news. Okay? Continue. "All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same." Yeah, their self-image started to crumble. "We look like grasshoppers, and that's what we look like to them, because how you see yourself is how others probably will see you." And they were fearful. "We can't go into the land. The Canaanites are in the land. The Amalekites and the Jebusites, the Electrolytes and termites, parasites, they're all in the land. We can't go." And they spread a bad report. And what happens? It infects everybody's perspective. That's a different kind of truth. Now let's go back to absolute truth. Now, after the 10 give a bad report and spread it through the media or however, social media, whatever they did, Facebook, and then come to Joshua and Caleb. Let's read this next one, Numbers 14, 16 through 18. Go. "Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Whoa, watch this. "And will..." Ah, that's called absolute truth. Caleb and Joshua saw the same thing those other 10 saw. These two agreed with how God saw it. Those decided that the way they saw it was the right way. And you'll see the difference in truth. Is that true? Absolutely. All these weird people are living in the land. Over here, no, we can absolutely go in and take it. And Moses is saying, "Well, wait a minute. Did you guys see the same movie? And you both have opposing reports." Does that sound like today? "And you both saw the same thing. And you guys say down, and you guys say up." And then you know what the Lord will say? Let's read the next scripture and you'll see what God says. Read it. "No one who has treated me with contempt. Oh, wait a second. Oh, okay, let's read this one up here. It's better. Not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. Why? Because they couldn't see it and refused to see it the way God says it was to be seen. They chose not to. They said personal truth and political truth is more important than absolute truth. So God says, sorry, you won't go and see the land that I promised. Continue. But because my servant Caleb has a what kind of spirit? And follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will. There's absolute truth. And it's interesting, the Hebrew on that, it uses the word Shema out of Deuteronomy 6. That says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And it's Shema HaKol Shali. It's an interesting word. It says, those who showed contempt, here's what it means. Those who refuse to see it the way I see it. Those who refuse to perceive it the way I perceive it will not enter into the promises that I have given to them. Why? Because their hearts have been darkened. I want people wholehearted who have dealt with the stuff in their heart and now can see the things the way I see them. That's the ones that will start the beginning of this new land. And I thought, Lord, may that be us. Lord, work on our hearts like you did David's. And when something makes me angry, instead of saying, man, that woman makes me angry, or that person, no, stop. It's already lodged in my own heart. And that person may have surfaced it, but it was there, and God used that so that I can see what's in me. The odor is not from the grandstands. It's on my shoes. And little by little, when I choose to confess that, all of a sudden, my heart becomes whole, complete, and I start to see things the way God sees them. And I understand personal truth, but I don't stop there. I know what political truth is, but I don't camp there. I say, Lord, what is the absolute truth? How do you see it? And I will intentionally see it that way. And God sees it up and not down, brighter and not darker. Redeem the time, even though the days are evil. Instead of seeing problems, see potential. Instead of seeing a renegade shepherd boy, see the making of a king disguised in there. And when we can do that, God can use us in a huge way. Can you make a resolution with me in this year to see things up and not down, to see things brighter and not darker, to figure out a way to see it the way God sees it and witness what God witnesses so that we can come in to his promises? There's a song by Ray Bolts that I remember, and I jotted down just one little verse of it. It talks about this and how God can touch a family, touch a marriage, touch a church, and everything changes. But we get to see it in a way that God sees it. If we see it down, he doesn't work his miracles. But if we see things up, it almost like opens the door to his presence and God starts to move. Why? Because faith is available. These 10 said, oh, it can't be done. You know, in the Olympics, before I read this little song verse, in the Olympics, you have two ways to score. Like if you're doing floor exercises and somersaults, the first is the artistic part of it. Ooh, that was nice. But the second scoring is measure of difficulty. That's 1 to 10. See, if the artistry is nice, I mean, you can just roll on the floor and they'll go, wow, that was good. A measure, you know, 10, that was real good. But measure of difficulty, like zip, my 2-year-old does that. Measure of difficulty. Moses says to the 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult will it be to get into that promised land? Oh, man, they said, There's giants in the land. Oh, man, there's no way we're going to enter it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult do you think it is? Oh, it's 12. 12. 12? 12. What about you, Joshua and Caleb? Oh, 2. It's a 2. It's a 2? Uh-huh. Yeah, duck soup. What about you guys? 12. No way. Then to you, it'll be a 12. To you, it's a 2. Well, what are you talking about? Sometimes God's going to assign something that God wants to heal, maybe something of your character that he wants to remove, some things that you have to do without. And you say, oh, I can't. No, I just can't. On a scale of 1 to 10, Wayne, how hard is it to obey what I'm asking? 12. Then for you, it'll be a 12. What about you? That's a 2. For you, it'll be a 2. Well, wait a minute. You mean this family's not going to get the promises of God and that one will? Isn't that discriminatory? No. You see, if you see it down and hard, listen carefully, as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. You decide how difficult it's going to be. Because God's power, he can do all things. But you decide how you're going to see it, up or down, bright or dark, difficult or easy. It's up to you. Make a commitment with me. Let's see things up. Let's see things bright. Let's see what we can do. And sure, there's going to be some problems and setbacks, but God's on the other side of that. And he's waiting for a miracle. Always remember, every miracle began with a problem. God's right there. Even in the beginning of time, when there was chaos and formless, and the world was formless and void, the Spirit of God hovered just above the waters. In the chaos of the ocean, the Holy Spirit was right there, that close to the chaos. And even though there's chaos in our life, in our world, God's Spirit says, I am so close. All you got to do is speak. Let there be light, and boom. So God is saying, never think I'm too far. Ray Bolts says it this way, and he's talking about David. Other people saw him as a renegade, rusty old kid. He says, one by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, because in just a moment, he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God can see a king. I want to see things God's way. Amen. I'm going to finish with one of my favorite poems of all time, written by a lady named Myra Brooks Welch in 1949. It's about how a violin was ready to be discarded, but it changed in a moment. It goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time on such an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good folks? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar. Two, only two. $2 will make it three. $3 going once, going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired old man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust off that old violin and tightened its loosened strings. And with a craftsman's touch and an artist's hand, he held it to his chin. He played a melody both pure and sweet, like caroling angels sing. And all that was there heard the sweet song that he shared that came from that same old violin. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid now for this old violin? And then he held it up with a bow. $1,000. Who'll give me two? $2,000. Who'll give me three? $3,000. Going once, going twice, and gone, said he. The crowd, they cheered, but some they cried, we don't quite understand. What changed its worth? Quick came the reply. It was the touch of the master's hand. You see, many of our lives, we're way out of tune, battered, torn by sin, and we're auctioned cheap to a thoughtless world, much like that old violin. Party here, excuse there. We shrug and we travel on, but we're going once, we're going twice, we're going and we're almost gone. But then the master comes along, and a foolish world may never understand the worth of a soul and the change that can be brought by the touch of the master's hand. And we've all been there, haven't we? With one touch, he can change you. Everything will be rearranged. Because when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Let's ask God to give us new eyes and a purer heart. As he surfaces some things, be quick to repent and confess. And little by little, we begin to see things more and more God's way. And in the midst of evil times, we'll see opportunity and we'll redeem it. So that many during this time, even though our world is unraveling, we'll see an unprecedented amount of people coming to Christ, people's lives being transformed. And you'll look back on this season and you'll thank God for helping us see things his way. Let's see things up. Can you make that covenant with me? Can you say amen to that? Let's do it and see what God is about to do. Let's stand. If you're here and you've never received Jesus, can I encourage you to do so today? I was in a service like this, and I remember raising my hand, and I still see that day as the day I made the most eternal decision I've ever made, to say yes to Jesus. I didn't even understand everything there was to understand. I was 19 years old. But since that time, my whole life has changed by the touch of the Master's hand. Yours can be too. Don't see this time as another church day. See it as an appointment with God. And if you'll see it that way, God can open doors in your life and transform, and you'll leave here differently than when you've arrived. That I guarantee. But you'll need to see things the way God is seeing them. And see this not as another church moment, but an opportunity or an appointment with God. So if you've never received Christ, do so today. Just with a raise of hand, you can say to Jesus, I'm the one upon whose heart you are knocking, and I say yes. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's you, and that's you saying, yes, God, I need you in my heart, would you right now just raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying to the Lord, yes, Lord, you come into my heart, and I want to receive you. Just raise your hand and let the Lord see that. Yep, good. Okay. Anybody else, just raise your hand. You're saying yes to Jesus. Lord, you brought me here, and it's my appointment with you. And I want to say yes to receive you as Lord and Savior. For a lot of people, right now is the biggest battle they're waging right now, because the enemy, our own flesh, our own reticence are all saying no, 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 just kind of chill. And God is saying yes, yes, yes. Listen to his voice. You'll be surprised what God has in store for you. We're going to say this prayer together. And if this is the first time you're praying it, pray it with all your heart. If this is the 50th time, pray it with all your heart. And let's renew our hearts to him. Would you pray this out loud with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you designed me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me. so I can hear myself and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Seeing Things Up by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, brought to you each day, year after year, on this very fine station. It's our joy to serve you in this way. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have a blessed day and an awesome Christ-filled new year. God bless you and aloha.